Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. Let's stand as we read the Word of God in honor of the Word, in honor of the Word tonight. You need to stretch your legs a little bit anyway. Amen. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Say, be holy. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your holy and precious name. We thank you because, Lord, we can only imagine, but Lord, your word says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered into our hearts what you have prepared for them that love him, not only here, but Lord, especially in glory. Lord, you've given us a picture, but I don't believe our finite minds could understand it. But God, I pray, in order to see you, your word tells us that we are to be holy. God, help us to understand what that word means. Help us to understand what that lifestyle. Help us to understand what you have commanded and what you require for us tonight. God, help us to seek your face and seek your will. Lord, just anoint our hearts and our minds to be open and receptive and responsive to you. Lord, anoint me, your servant, to speak what you've laid upon our heart. And God, help us to realize the lateness of the hour. And we give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Want to talk to us tonight about holiness. Say holiness. Holiness is purity, consecration, sanctification. The state of one growing in divine grace as a result of Christian commitment after conversion or repentance. To sanctify, to set apart for a sacred purpose or to a religious use. To set free from sin. Holiness. Here in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, there are three words that come in that have been translated, but they all come from the same root of the Hebrew word. The word consecrate, the phrase be holy, and the word sanctify. In those two verses, the three times, different words are used for the same purpose. We are to consecrate ourselves. We are to be holy. That's our action. But it's the Lord who sanctifies us. Consecration, being holy, and sanctification all come from the same root word. We are sanctified. The Lord sanctifies us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. And therefore, as we strive to walk in obedience, as we strive to be in the, to be like in the image of God, as we strive to do what God does, what's pleasing to God, as we consecrate, as we choose to separate ourselves from the things of this world to the things of God, we are literally consecrating ourselves. We are making ourselves holy, which we are called to be holy. Can you say amen? Holiness basically is this. Once a person is born again, they separate themselves to the ways of the Lord. They separate themselves to his word, to his will, as well as separating themselves from the things of this world, the flesh, and our own selfish desires and our own human nature. We don't hear a whole lot about this word. We don't hear it used a whole lot anymore, but what you and I must understand tonight, you say, well, Brother Doss, don't you know that's way back at the beginning of the Bible? Don't you know that's way back at the beginning of the Old Testament? What God called for us to be in the Old Testament, he still calls for us to be today. He still calls for you and I to what? To be holy. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know holiness, many times we get a strange perspective. Holiness is, and we know this, it's not a hairdo, it's not a sleeve length, even though I've got my white shirt and it's all, and now if I'd had it buttoned up here, I'd be a holiness preacher, but it's unbuttoned on the top, so I'm not a holiness preacher tonight, amen? Holiness is not a hairdo, a sleeve length, or wearing dresses down to your toenails, it's not going out with any makeup or anything. Now, if they want to do that, if they feel like they want to do that, and it's pleasing to God, but if their hearts are pure in doing that, that's okay. I know some folks that follow after that, the outside adorning, and they feel that's one way they can serve God. If they want to do that, that's okay, but that's really not what holiness is all about. Because if there is no true holiness of the heart, the outward appearance is in vain. Can you say amen? But the other side of that is this, there's got to be a balance. When we are following after holiness, when we are following after what God says, we will walk different. Can you say amen? We will talk different. We will dress different. We will live different. We will act different. We won't watch or listen to the things we used to listen to because we are trying to consecrate ourselves and striving after holiness in an effort to please God. Holiness is a personal choice. Touch your neighbor and say it's a personal choice. In fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are to strive after holiness. Not just in the Old Testament, it says be holy, that it says we are to strive after holiness. Hebrews 12, 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Boy, that's a strong statement. Pursuing holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let me share with you a little commentary from the Full Life Study Bible. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness is being separated from sin and being set apart for God. It is to be close to God, to be like Him, and to seek His presence, righteousness, and fellowship with all our hearts above all things. Holiness is God's priority for His followers. Number one, holiness was God's purpose for His people when He planned their salvation in Christ. Number two, holiness was Christ's purpose for His people when He came to this earth. Holiness was Christ's purpose for His people when He gave Himself up for them on the cross. Holiness is God's purpose in making us a new creation and giving us the Holy Spirit. Without holiness, no one can be useful to God. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. Without holiness, there is no nearness to or fellowship with God. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So the thing that we see, this thing called holiness, is still for you and I today. Holiness is not something we do on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Holiness is a way of life that God desires for you and I as His children, that we may have a closer fellowship with Him and that we may fulfill His purpose in and through our life. Holiness for a believer is not an option. It is a command. It was a command in the Old Testament, it's a command in the New Testament, and it's a command for you and I today. Can you say amen? Well, holiness is not cool. I don't care how cool or not cool it is to our society. That's what it's God's requirement. Can you say amen? I didn't get in this thing to be cool. I got in this thing to serve God. Can you say amen? How many of you did that? Amen. We get in this thing to serve God. We are commanded to be holy. There in Leviticus, again, the word the Lord speaking through Moses says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Whose responsibility is it? Us. I am to consecrate. I am to separate myself. I've got a choice in this. Well, Brother Dawson, aren't we all saved by grace? You better believe it. By grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. But once we are saved, we've got a choice of whether we're going to stay saved or not. We've got to walk this walk and talk this talk. Now, I understand that we all make mistakes and we fail at some times and we stumble. But the thing about it, we've got to get up one more time than we fall down. We've got to get right more time when we make a mistake. Can you say amen? We have to consecrate ourselves. There has to be a daily effort. Listen, I was going to back off tonight, but Donna, she knows, she's heard me say this many times. I said, honey, I'm going to back off. She said, that lasts for about 2 seconds and it just don't work, so you might as well quit. But holiness is something we are to consecrate ourselves. Again, it means to separate ourselves from the things of this world to the things of God. We are to strive for that daily, can you say amen? To sanctify, to be holy, be prepared, to dedicate ourselves. It is our choice and it is our responsibility to pursue after holiness as it says in Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, here's something else in the New Testament. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Again, here we are in the New Testament. And Peter is speaking to you and I tonight, saying, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That word conduct means your manner of life, your conduct and behavior. And Dean, I hope you don't mind me talking about this. She had some folks that she knew that were from the holiness background. But she said some of the problem with that was this. they would shout and have a good time on Sunday, but then they'd, pardon my French, they would live like hell the rest of the week. That's not holiness. Holiness is not what we do in this house. Holiness, now if we're walking like we're supposed to out every day, what we do in this house will have an impact. But holiness is how I live on Monday morning. Holiness is how I live on Tuesday at dinner. Holiness is how I walk on Wednesday afternoon. Holiness is how I conduct my business and how I treat my children and my family. Holiness is how I treat others the rest of the way. Holiness is how I dedicate myself to the Lord. Can you say amen? Holiness is what we do 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It is a manner of life, and that's what God has called us to be. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, your manner of life, your behavior. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, and this day you and I are living in today, God is still calling us to holiness. Now, I've said this statement before. God is more concerned with our holiness than with our happiness. He is concerned with our happiness, but he's more concerned with our holiness. But here's the other side of the coin. But if we're striving after holiness, if we're pursuing after holiness, we can't help but be happy. The joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. When we're striving after holiness, doesn't mean we're being perfect at it, but when we're striving after holiness, can I tell you there's no greater joy and peace than knowing that you're walking in right relationship with the Lord, no matter what's going on around you. Can you say amen? My joy is not predicated on if my circumstances are good or if my circumstances are bad or if I'm having a difficult time. My joy in the Lord is predicated, am I walking in right relationship and obedience with the Lord? Am I pursuing holiness? Am I separating myself to the things of God? That doesn't mean I shut the world out. We've got to live in this world. We've got to operate in this world. We've got to reach out to this world. But I don't have to live like them. I don't have to talk like them. I don't have to dress like them. They've got to see a difference. Can you say amen? They've got to see a difference in our actions, in our attitude, and the way we conduct our lives. That's why he said, be holy in all your conduct. Christ, is Jesus coming back for a compromised church? Jesus is coming back for a holy church. He's coming back for a church that's walking in holiness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. She should be holy and without blemish. That word blemish means without fault, without spot or blame, without rebuke. Jesus is coming back for a holy church without blemish. He's coming back for a people that's striving after righteousness and holiness. What are these folks going to do that are going to churches and these pastors that are preaching a feel-good gospel that you can live any way you want to and God and his love and mercy will accept you and you can just do all the things you want to do and it's going to be all right? How are they going to make heaven if they're not hearing the word about holiness? This is not popular today because I can't drink my drink and watch the junk on TV that I want to watch or go see R-rated movies. I know this is old-time preaching, but I want to get back to old-time holiness. Can you say amen? Come on. I can't do all these things that I know is not pleasing to God and go to church and see, raise my little hands and think I'm doing all right and expect to make heaven. God calls us, church. Notice I'm saying us. If I hadn't said this in a long time, if I'm pointing one finger at you, I got three pointing back at me. He calls us to be a holy people. There's got to be a difference in our walk and our talk and our action. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Hello. Because this is a Sunday night crowd. But guess what? No disrespect to those come on Sunday morning. But guess what? This is the crowd that can do it. This is the crowd that can do it. Because if they only want to come just one time a week, they're going to hate heaven. What are they going to do when they can't control what time they get out? What are they going to do when praise service goes on for about 2,000 years? What are they going to do? Come on, somebody. If the music's a little too loud, hallelujah. What are they going to do when the angels begin to sing? What are they going to do when Jesus begins to talk to us and he talks to us for about 10 years? What are we going to do on that time? Can you say amen? Come on, somebody. But think of the alternative. Well, I don't know if I'm going to like that. Well, you can fry like a crispy critter. Hello. Come on, somebody. I done got to meddling. Hallelujah. That ain't even in my notes. But church, listen to me. It's funny, but it's not funny. There's a denomination that the Assemblies of God was birthed out of, the Methodist denomination. Less than 100 years ago, the revival fire swept through them, men like John Wesley, a little over 100 years ago. And in their national conference, they are considering ordaining homosexuals. They already accept them in their membership. They allow them to teach and have place. That's already in their constitution papers. You can look it up online. But now the men or women or whatever they are, they're going to fulfill their pulpits if they want to follow homosexuality. God help us. Because they're supposed to have the same Bible that we have. But they're not teaching the same truth that we teach and believe. Can you say amen? And I'm just going to get to one point. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. Are y'all still with me tonight? Christ is coming back. Not for a compromised church, but for a holy church. Boy, I got way off on that point, but I think it's all right. He's coming back for a holy church without blemish. We are to be holiness. Holiness can only be developed in us when we are born again. Only when we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ask the Lord to save us, forgive us, and believe that He died and rose again for our sins. Only when we've truly been born again. Holiness can only be developed in us when we have had a heart of true repentance. True repentance. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 27 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We got to put off some things and put on some things. We've got to put off the old fleshly carnal nature and put on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Walking in true righteousness and holiness. True repentance will lead to true holiness. Holiness can only be developed in us when we are people of prayer. Communication with the Lord, seeking His will, seeking His guidance, seeking His direction, talking to Him. We cannot be holy if we don't communicate daily with the one who is pure holiness. We cannot be holy if we don't communicate daily with the one who is purely holy. I think about what Isaiah saw. Is this all right tonight? I think about what Isaiah saw. He said, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And I saw the cherubim, and He describes their wings, and they rose up and they began to sing. And what did they sing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the very post of the temples of heaven shook as they sang. Because we serve a holy God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. But He's still a holy God. Can you say amen? We can't be holy unless we communicate. And we have the privilege to spend time in prayer with Him. Holiness can only be developed in us when we are reading, studying, and applying God's Word to our lives. God's Word tells us how we can be holy. Note this. Kind of what we mentioned a little while ago. Holiness is not bringing God's standard down to our lifestyle, but rather bringing our lifestyle up to God's standard. Somewhere we've gotten this wrong with this user-friendly gospel that's been preached today. Holiness is bringing our standard up to God. You say, well, Brother Dawson, again, we're not just talking about an outward show. Holiness has got to start from within. Holiness has got to be in our heart. Can you say amen? Holiness is saying, Lord, I'm going to do my best to live up to your standard. And the Bible says his commands are not grievous. The reason we have a problem with him is because we'd more rather do our own thing than do God's thing. Hello. Holiness is developed in us when we're reading, studying, and applying God's word to our life. Listen to what he said in verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Holiness is accomplished in us, developed in us, when we separate ourselves from the things of this world, not pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 6:14, beginning there, says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idol? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out. Say, come out. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and he will receive us. It's separating ourselves from the things of this world, but separating ourselves to the things of God. There again, he says, come out from them, and I will receive you. Draw nigh to God, and he shall draw nigh to you. Number 7, holiness is developed within us as we humble ourselves to the Lord. Holiness and humbleness go hand in hand. Holiness and humbleness go hand in hand. I've used that word a tremendous amount. Holiness and humility, humbling ourselves before God. That doesn't mean we're a doormat. The Bible says Moses was one of the most humble men on the face of the earth, but God used him to become one of the greatest leaders this world has ever known. Because he stayed humble, doesn't mean he wasn't strong, doesn't mean he was weak. It means he was humble before God, and God could speak to his heart and speak. In fact, what got Moses from entering into the promised land is when his attitude got wrong. When he got mad and didn't do what God said. Hello. God said, speak to the rock the second time, and he struck the rock. His attitude got a little off. Not a little off, but really off. Holiness and humbleness go hand in hand. We've got to be humble before the Lord. Humbles yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. As we humble ourselves to God, his holiness, his righteousness begins to be developed in our life. Again, the scribes and the Pharisees appeared holy on the outside, but within, Jesus said they were full of pride and hypocrisy and self-indulgence. Number 8, holiness can only be developed in us as we pursue holiness. Like it said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, we are to pursue, that word to follow after, to press toward. It is a continual pursuit for the things of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. We've got to run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, pursuing the things of the Lord. Eugene Peterson, who translated the paraphrase, the Bible called the Message, in another book he wrote was called In a Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He writes this, listen very closely. It is not difficult in our world to get a person interested in the message of the gospel. It is terrifically difficult to sustain the interest. Millions of people in our culture make decisions for Christ, but there is a dreadful attrition rate. Many claim to have been born again, but the evidence for mature Christian discipleship is slim. In our kind of culture, anything, even news about God, can be sold if it's packaged freshly. But when it loses its novelty, it goes on the garbage heap. There is a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for the long apprenticeship in what earlier Christians called holiness. It's not hard to get them saved. It's hard to tell them how to stay saved. Because you've got to lay some things down and you've got to pursue after holiness. Can you say amen? We've got to separate ourselves from the things of the world and to the things of God. I missed a scripture. Mike, if you can go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit for perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look who's got to do the cleansing. Let us cleanse who? I don't have to worry about John or Diane. We can clean somebody else up good. But I'm not responsible for John or Diane. I'm responsible for Greg. I got to make sure that Greg's cleaned up good. Can you say amen? I've got to make sure that I've got all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That word perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That word perfecting means to fulfill further, to execute. Again, that last one was pursue holiness. To follow after, to press toward. God is calling us, church, to holiness. What's the benefits of holiness? Is there any benefit to holiness? You better believe there is. What's the benefit to holiness? Number one is true fellowship with God. We read the latter part of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 18. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive. Say receive. I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my son and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. That word receive is a powerful word because it means to take into one's favor. God says, if you come out from among them and lay aside that what is unclean, he says, I will take you into my favor. And that means God will literally take his favor and place it upon you. And it doesn't matter what devil in hell wants to try to stop it. It doesn't matter what anybody in this world that comes against you. When God takes his favor and places it on you, that favor is there. And he will open any door. He will make the path straight. He will bring the mountains low. He will make the crooked path straight. He will raise the valleys up. Why? Because as you're walking in holiness, his favor is upon you. We know great men and women of the Word of God that when they had God's favor, all the armies of the world couldn't stop them. Can you say amen? The fire couldn't burn them up. The lions couldn't eat them up. Why? Because God's favor was upon them. Why? Because they were people of holiness. Holiness. Can you say that word with me? It's not a bad word. We have true fellowship with God. He is our Father, our protector, our provider, our guide, our Savior. What's the benefit for holiness? We become useful for God's purpose. We are useful for God's purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, hay, wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Again, that word sanctified means to make or be holy, to purify or consecrate. Listen to who's supposed to do that. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. How many of us want to be useful for the Lord? Amen. He doesn't have to use us. He doesn't have to use us. He can, but God chooses to use us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be useful for the Master. I want to be used of God. That's where our rewards come from as we're walking in obedience to God. I want to be useful for God, but he wants to use, he don't want to use a dirty vessel. He wants to use a clean vessel. Can you say amen? You say, well, Brother Dawes, he used a donkey and a rooster. He can use anybody. Yeah, but if that donkey's told Balaam, he said, look, he said, hadn't I been your donkey for 18 years? God opened his mouth and talked some sense to him. I wish God opened the donkey's mouth and talked some sense to some folks today. Hello. Amen. A donkey said, don't you know I have been your donkey? I've never hurt you in 18 years. When that rooster crowed, that wasn't his first morning to crow. He had been faithful for crowing for as long as he wasn't a fried chicken yet. God used faithful people that were faithful to their task. We need to be useful for his purpose, but God needs clean vessels. He wants to use clean vessels, and we can be clean vessels, useful for his purpose. Can you say amen? We are useful for God's purpose. Doesn't that blow your mind that God can use us? Benefits of holiness, we experience more of God's presence, power, and blessings. God's richest blessings and deeper joy, peace, and strength, and anointing, and power of his presence are for those who walk in true holiness at a deeper level. There's a place. It's a powerful place with God. We experience more of God's presence, power, and blessing. Number four, what's the benefits of holiness? We experience worship at a higher and deeper level. We experience worship at a higher and deeper level. Psalms 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 96, verse 9. Are y'all still with me tonight? Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. That word beauty means honor, adornment, the excellency of holiness. Worship in holiness is like a lightning rod for the presence of God. We'll experience worship at a much deeper level and a more powerful level. Question. Does God always hear our prayers? Always. Or can there things obstruct our prayers? What things? Sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Your sins have separated you from the Lord your God so that he cannot hear. Question. If he does not receive or accept our prayers, if there's sin in our heart, does he accept our worship? I need something. No. He told Israel when they were in a backslidden state, it was a stench in his nostrils. But when we are walking in holiness, when we are pursuing after holiness, when we're pursuing after that right relationship, and then we lift our hands and we begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship him. I like what that definition is. In the beauty, in the honor, and the excellency of holiness. Why do we lift our hands? Why do we lift our hands to worship the Lord? What is that a sign of? Surrender. But it's also a sign of what? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall abide in his holy place? He that hath what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Boy, when our hearts are clean and our lives are right and we are walking in holiness, you better look out when you begin to offer up that praise. And even if you're going through a difficult time and you begin to offer up that sacrifice of praise, you better look out. He's coming. You can worship at a deeper level. You can worship at such a deep level, you can literally get lost in the worship. I'm not lost, you lose your salvation. I'm talking about lost in the presence, in the beauty of his holiness. You can't do that with sin in your heart. You can't do that living a compromised lifestyle. You can't do that with a half-hearted walk with God. But you can do it. When we're walking in holiness, can you say amen? Boy, y'all done got quiet on me. You said, Brother Doss, you're talking about pipe dream. No, I'm talking about a reality. I'm talking about a reality that's available to each and every one of us. Here's the awesome thing. Number five, what's the benefits of holiness? we will see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. When we're walking in holiness, we'll make heaven. Let me read that again. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. What happens when we're not walking in holiness? What does it say? Surely that's a typo. Brother Doss, what about his grace? Thank God for his grace. He's a graceful, he's a merciful God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's a loving God, he's a good God, he's a faithful God. But he's also a God that requires us to be holy. Can you say amen? Amen. Without which no one shall see the Lord. Didn't Jesus say, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. No, that's not popular preaching, but that's what the gospel says. Can you say amen? God not is trying, he's not trying to keep the people out, but he's showing us and giving us the holiness handbook, showing us how to get in and stay in. Can you say amen? And it's time we be people of holiness. Benefits to holiness, hindrances of holiness. Hindrances to holiness, sin. Holiness and sin don't mix, never have, never will. Isaiah, y'all still with me tonight? But your iniquities, Isaiah 59, 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin and holiness do not mix. Unconfessed sin and holiness do not mix. Hindrances to holiness, pride. Other than sin, pride will hinder you from walking in true holiness. Just like holiness can be developed when we are walking humble with the Lord. Holiness, when we have pride in our hearts. Pride is a hindrance to us walking in holiness. Why do I know that? The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the what? To the humble. Pride says, look at me. Holiness says, look toward God. Pride says, it's my way. Holiness says, it's God's way. Pride says, it's what I want, it's all about me. Holiness says, it's what God's wanting, it's all about him. Pride says, what can I get out of this? Holiness says, what can I give, or who, or how can I serve? Pride says, it's an outward show to others. Holiness says, it's an obedience done out of a heart of love for the Lord, no matter who's watching. Can you say amen? Pride is a hindrance to holiness. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Number three, hindrances to holiness, doubt and unbelief. Boy, doubt and unbelief hinders us from walking in holiness. Here's a huge one. Number four, hindrances to holiness, complacency and compromise. Complacency and compromise. Complacency and compromise. When we are walking in complacency and compromise, when we are giving in to things that we know are not pleasing to the Lord, when we're giving in to a lifestyle somewhere along, and I'm not knocking, because guess what? It happens in all denominations, including the Assemblies of God. Somewhere along the line, we have quit walking in this thing called holiness. Can you say amen? I was talking to Brother Gerald Casey, and one of the ladies that is good friends with Mama, her name is Marilyn Jay. She's 88 years old. She is spry as all get out. Her daddy was a former district superintendent of Alabama. He was also one of the presidents of Southeastern Bible College. I said, Brother Gerald, and she was 88, so I know this was a long time ago, way before my time. I said, Brother Gerald, do you remember him? And Sister Faye and Brother Gerald both said, yes, we remember him. He said, there were three messages I remembered him preaching. I said, wow. He said, one was Blue Ribbon Holiness. I wrote it down. And next time I go to Mama's, I'm going to talk to Miss Marilyn. I said, what did you do with your daddy's sermons? I'm going to see if I can find Blue Ribbon Holiness. I mean, the young people, there's this thing called cassette tapes we used to listen to. Even the thing called reel to reel that y'all may not know. I want to see if I can't find that message. Complacency and compromise, false teaching, is a hindrance to holiness. Number six, bitterness, unforgiveness, and a divisive spirit is hindrances to holiness. Church, God has called us to be a holy people. Can you say amen? 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Brother Dawson, that sometimes that's kind of hard and makes me feel sad. It's not supposed to. Being a holy people is not to make us sad, can you say amen? In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, listen to this very carefully. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That word nation means a race, a tribe, a people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That word proclaim means to publish, to celebrate, to show forth, to make known by praising. We are to praise God and give him glory for the ability that we can walk in holiness, in his holiness. Can you say amen? And that he is a holy God. We are to be following after holiness, and that's what God has called us to do. And we need to celebrate that fact instead of being ashamed of it. We need to celebrate that fact instead of being ashamed of it. Because without it, no one will see the Lord. There's an old song that says, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to be with him forever and his amazing grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. But the only way we're going to make it is to walk in holiness. To walk in holiness. We don't have to be ashamed of being a holy people. That's what he's called us to be. I can only be holy as I'm following after him, as his blood has been applied. But my question tonight is this. And this question is for Greg. This question is for Reggie. This question is for Jim, Teresa, Sister Valera. Is there anything in my life, is there anything in my heart or my mind that's keeping me from walking in the holiness he'd have me to be walking in? And if there is, I need to lay it on the altar. Because I want to experience the benefits of it. Can you say amen? I don't want anything to come between me and the Lord. But you know what? Here, watch this. Here's the awesome thing. He doesn't want anything to come between us. He wants to bless. He wants to move. He wants to empower. He wants to draw closer. And he will, as we lay those things on his altar, on the altar. But if there's not, then we can worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And look out. Look out. When we do, he's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. Yes. It's like a lightning rod. What about it tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus,